All right. Well, let's look to the Lord in prayer just a moment here. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time, God. You've been so good to us, Lord. You fed our souls, and here we are tonight. We're going to open your word and give you space to do it again. We just pray you'll help us, Lord. Give us what we need by your Spirit. It is your Spirit that's able to do that, dear Lord. So would you please do that tonight? In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, let me try to share with you what God has given to me. It's definitely going to take the Lord to help me do this. But I think we'll start off and we will read two different stories in the Bible. So they're in Acts 11 is the first one. And if we can read well, I'm trying to cut out a little bit of this reading, but let's start and let's do 1 through 4. Then we'll summarize the story and then we'll read verse 18. Okay. So someone can read 1 through 4 of this chapter. So what he told them was the story of how he went to Cornelius' house. And he recounted the story of how before the men came to ask him, he had a vision. And the Lord let down this sheet of all these animals that he had told the Jews not to eat. And he said, arise and eat. And Peter said, now listen to what Peter said, because he said, Lord, not so. Therefore, he understood that it was God giving him this vision, and he was talking with God. This was a discussion he was having with God, and the Lord was telling him to rise up and do something that tradition said not to do. And the Lord had actually given some direction at one time not to do this. All right? And so he said, not so, but this vision came down three times to him, and in each time he said, after Peter said that he hadn't eaten anything unclean, the voice said, don't call what I have cleansed unclean. All right? So then while he wondered what it meant, these people arrived from Cornelius, who was a Gentile, and they invited Peter to come. And so Peter went with them and to the house there, and it says when he arrived, let's see, and we entered into the man's house in the 12th verse, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. And then I remembered the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, and who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? All right? And can somebody read what they say then in the 18th verse?
When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life.
So these people had an issue with Peter. He explained what happened, and they recognized the hand of God in it. And they said, okay, we accept, we see this here. Okay, all this we're going to talk about in a minute. I just want y'all to have these stories in your head while we talk tonight. Okay, so now the second story is in the 21st chapter of Acts. It's a very similar situation, but the Jews that came up in this situation had a different response to that which they did not agree with. So Acts 21. And sorry, y'all got to have the verse too, don't you? 17 through 32. Let's take some turns and just kind of read around. This story is a little less familiar, so let's go ahead and read this entire story. I will tell you this. This is where the final time that Paul came to Jerusalem and ended up going in as a prisoner from here to Rome. So that's where we are. And let's pick up 17th verse and read. So they have an issue with you, Paul. What are we going to do about this? Okay? All right? And so here's their suggestion to him. He says, look, take these four men, and y'all shave your heads, and you do everything so that they will see that you are walking orderly and keep us the law. And then in the 25th verse, can we pick up there and continue reading? Yeah, 32. Go ahead and read 32.
He immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating Paul.
Okay, so very different reactions. Same situation. In one situation, they had this question about Paul. Are you doing some things here that we've always taught against? You Gentiles, you know, and they held that the Jews and the Gentiles were different, and we're not supposed to eat together, we're not supposed to come together, all these things. And so Peter explained to them what was going on, and they recognized the hand of God and made some adjustments to what they realized. There was there were changes that had happened to what the tradition always was, and they were changes ordained by God. All right? These people are Jews as well. They see the same issue happening, and they have a completely different reaction, and they go to kill Paul. All right? So basically, the setting here, and what I just wanted to see, is there was an attitude that, or a motivation, a focus that the first group had that allowed them to walk alongside those that were working for the Lord, and the Lord was actually leading. And there was an attitude, a focus that this group over here had that led them to begin to beat and try to kill the people who were actually bringing the gospel. All right, so which one y'all would y'all like to be? Would you like to beat and stone those who are bringing the gospel? Or would you like to walk alongside those that are bringing the gospel of the Lord, the saving gospel, the one that, you understand what I'm saying? I think it's a pretty clear choice. But we would say, we would hope our actions line up with what God is happy with, not with what God is displeased with, obviously. So what we want to talk about tonight is how we make sure that happens. Because it's not in the looking at the and just making a decision, it's in our motivation and how we approach life. Okay? So I want to do something for you. This is a steel ball, and this is a steel ball. Now, if you bang these two things together, are they going to shape into one? You don't think so? You sure about that? I am too. I'm pretty sure about that. I'm pretty sure that if you just take these two things and bang them together, they're never going to be one, right? Okay. So we got to have something that can actually cut steel, right? So we have a box down here that I'm not going to tell you all it signifies, but this box has, for times like these, where those who would desire to serve God, make a note, these people that tried to kill Paul were saying they were serving God. They weren't, they were desiring to serve God. Now, there's probably some things that got twisted in their mind because of the path they took, and there was selfishness, there was hypocrisies, no doubt, because God can work with a sincere soul. But what I'm saying is they weren't claiming to be worshipers of Diana or Baal or Buddha, or, you know, he wasn't even around then, but you know what I mean. They were claiming to worship the true God, but somehow they were actually fighting against him, right? We don't want to do that. So this box here has receptor for situations like this. All right? And if we just take this and we do the same thing over here, it has these two rounded out areas that can open up. And these two steel balls can come sit down in here, all right? And the sides can come back around. And now these, the portions of these two things that are right can now be joined in this box. Okay, so what is this box? This box is the perfect will of God. All right? And out here we have our opinion, and you can put whatever you want on it. Number one, well, we don't need to say our. Let's just say opinion number one, and we have opinion number two. Now, that would be heresy to people like the Jews. In this second situation, you're claiming what I'm doing is working off of my own opinion. We work off our own opinion, and all we ever do is bang against things. Okay? But in every situation, let's pretend this represents the people who love apples, and this represents the people who love oranges. Okay? Oranges. Apples. So these people say apples are the best. And these people say that oranges are the best. Who thinks apples are the best? Okay, who thinks oranges are the best? Who's not willing to jump in and make a decision because they have no idea what I'm fixing to do with this? Okay, that's fine too. All right. Okay, so this person is so convinced that apples are the best that he says we should eat only apples. And we shouldn't eat oranges. This person says we should only eat oranges. And apples only on Tuesdays if we can't find oranges. Okay? Now, this person says apples are a good source of fiber. And this person says, what can we say about oranges? They got vitamin C. They're a good source of vitamin C, right? All right. This one says you can eat the apple peel. It's edible. And this person says, all right, you can use it to cook with. You can zest it, right? Can't you zest the orange? So it's zestable. That's probably not a word, but we'll pretend it is. It's zestable. All right, and we could go on and on. Anything else you want to say? I could say, well, this is a citrus fruit. All right, and they can say these are easier to grow. You know, apples grow in a lot of different climates. I mean, they're in Georgia. They're up in the Northeast. They've got them out in Oregon. Oranges are in California and Florida and not on a large scale anywhere else in the U.S., right? Okay. So so we have these things here. And this is, and these two opinions have just spent years fighting with each other. All right? And not getting anywhere. This is still here and this is still here. Because it just, when you just take your opinions and you bang on each other, that's all that happens. All you're doing is just pounding each other with your opinions. They decided one day, they said, you know what? There's this box over here. And the rumor is, if we, instead of looking at each other, if we each individually just take our turn in the receptor here, there's a rumor that it can push all the things that are just opinions to one side and keep all that's true and make a cut. And we won't be a steel ball anymore, but we'll be unified. And so they decide to do that. And they come down here and they, oh, this was the part I was wishing I had something to, just imagine this slid down here and it's sitting here now, okay? And so the cuts, you know, the stuff starts happening and pushing the things that are just opinions out. So all of a sudden, you know what? That's an opinion. That's an opinion. And let's see. Eating only apples. Is there any reason to eat only apples? That's an opinion that actually could possibly make you sick. Because if you eat only one thing, you might become allergic to them. You might become sick. So that's really just an opinion that you should only eat apples. All right, and that you shouldn't eat oranges? No, because oranges have good things for you. All right, easier to grow? Well, I mean, it might be true where you are, but is that any reason to bang on each other? You know, the peel's edible, fiber is good for you. Only oranges? Nah, you know what, that again, that can make you get sores in your mouth. Apples on Tuesdays? There's no reason to eat apples only on Tuesdays. You can eat them any day of the week you want to. They are zestable, vitamin C, citrus. And so they found that this came down here. And when they both focused on this, easier to grow. Okay, so maybe we'll buy our oranges and grow our apples. They have fiber. And the peel's edible. And over here, citrus, vitamin C, zestable. All right. So now in the perfect will of God, they actually found out what was really true and could really benefit them both, and managed to join together and submit to that and enjoy the actual reality of the truth about oranges and the truth about apples. Okay. So how did it happen? They decided to, instead of focusing on each other and where their opinions were different on something, they say, you know what? Let us just turn our attention to this box and let's go down and let it push away the things that are just opinions and keep that's true. And in that, they found they were unified. You know, in John, there's a verse I like to read. It says, well, you know what? I like to read a lot of verses. I guess I said that a little different way, but there's a verse in John I want to read here in the first chapter. And it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Okay, so, you know what? You're really great and all, but I don't think we're going to get anywhere just looking at each other and trying to figure out where we're right and where we're wrong. Okay? I think maybe we need to look at something different. And that's what John's saying. We saw the word of life. That's what we're focused on. He said, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. So now I'm not trying to bang against you and tell you how wrong you are and how you ought to think more like me. Instead, I'm saying, look, I don't know, man. We both got things hanging around that probably aren't exactly right. And the only way we're ever going to know it, because we can't cut them out. We don't know how to cut them out. We don't have the tools to do that. But if we turn our eyes on this, the Lord can work in you and he can work in me. And he can cut away the things that are just opinions. He can cut away the things that we can't recognize for what they are. And in doing that, no longer are we out here fighting against each other, and in that, fighting against what God's trying to do in our lives. We're now looking at something different that can actually do a work in our life. And he says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You're out here and you're saying that, it's not really true. But when you turn your eyes and that is truly what you're looking at in your life, you don't have to worry about the differences you might have with somebody. You can say, look, I'll tell you what, I don't know about what you're saying, but I can tell you one thing. If you turn your attention on God and on what his perfect will is for your life, he has the tools to cut away the things that are opinions. I don't ever want to be trying to tell you what's an opinion in your life, what's not, because I don't have the tools to do that. But I can tell you that God does. And then if you don't look to him, you're going to walk around with your own opinions, and you're going to be banging on God and his work, and that doesn't end up well. So you need to turn our attention to God and to what his will is for you. And as you do that in your life, he will cut away the things that are opinions, and he will keep the things that are true. And you don't have to be worried about it because he's perfect. He will do it perfectly. All you have to do is learn how to focus on him and on what he's working with you in your life. And you're reading and you're praying. And you come along with somebody else and say, man, I don't know, but let me tell you something. Let me tell you about Jesus, what I'm finding out about Jesus. When I focus on him instead of what's wrong with you, then he takes care of what's actually wrong with me and helps me walk in unity with his people and walk in peace in his perfect will. All right, so that's great for the unity side, but also what you out here, you know how if you were a steel ball and you spent your life banging against other steel balls, how peaceful would that be? Not very peaceful. This focus on God actually will bring peace into your life. You know, we're so worried not to fight because somebody's going to take something and it's going to make my world fall apart. But the Lord knows what to take and what to leave. All right? So if we'll focus on him and his will for us, then we'll find something else besides unity with his people. We have a song, number 55. Whoops. Here we go. It has a couple of verses here I wanted to read and point out a couple of things it says. All right, first verse says, does somebody want to read that first verse for us? Yeah. 55, yes. Can you see the freedom? If I'm out here banging on you, there's no freedom in that because I constantly got to bang. If it's about me establishing my opinion, I'm just banging on. But if I turn on the Lord, all of a sudden, hey, it's in God's hands. There's no need for any banging around here. God's holding me in his hands and removing those things that are not truly his perfect will in my life. And you see how that, like the picture we have here, now I'm girded around by the will of God. And so no longer do I have to fight for my opinion. The Lord establishes his truth. You see the difference? We don't have, there's no need for us to defend God. We could just let him do his work in us, our lives, and he will shine his truth out, and he will establish what he will establish, and we can trust him and just let him do it. So therefore, it's a girding around us that we no longer have to worry about having to fight in this world against other opinions. We can just focus on God. All right, can somebody read the third verse? I like this part. I'm sorry, Hannah Kate. I probably was a little distracted. But this makes me happy, all right? Makes me very happy. Because this is how, I'm like, Lord, how can I have peace? There's a lot of rocks. There's a lot of treacherous shoal. I mean, there's a lot of things in life that can bump us every single day. I mean, if I live 50 years, I'm almost 50, not 50. I finally said that right. All right, about times 365. I mean, I'm not even going to, let's just say 300. That's 15,000 days. It's a lot of opportunities to get beat up on some rocks. That concerns me a little. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm concerned about that. But I'm not really, because I know that I can just do this, and the Lord can just carry me through all those places where everybody else is banging, boom, 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 fighting for their opinion and doing all these things. I can just float on the will of God and have peace brought through those places in life. And that's precious to me. So, can somebody read the fourth verse? It's down there in the little print at the bottom. So, forever I choose not to sit here and worry about fighting for my opinion, but to just choose the will of God, to choose to focus on God in my life. And that might make me say a few times, you know, I really don't know. I'm not sure. This might, but the Lord can sort this out.